Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. All right, so I went and I bid on the janitor's job in the milk cast department. Well, when I signed up, hey, McGee, you better get down there. Somebody signed your name up for the blankety blank job down there. And I said, no, I signed it up. You're going back to being a blankety blank person. Yeah, I like driving the forklift and going to the dump. Yeah, I'm going down there. I didn't tell anybody. I want to go down there. But then after 3 months, they promote the foreman to a salesman in the front office. They promote an operator to foreman. There's an opening. It's posted on the board. It's a bid deal. Well, several people in the plant bid on it. Well, I bid on it. Well, they gave it to another guy down in shipping. So I went down to the union shop and said, that's my job. It's not your job. You haven't been here long enough. It's not based on how long you've been here. According to your manual, it's based on who's in the department. I'm the only guy in the department. That's my job. Well, you're crazy. You didn't give that job to a janitor. Well, it's in your manual. I didn't write the manual, but it's in the union manual. Well, they read it. And he's standing there looking at it like, well, that can't be right. I said, well, I didn't write the manual. I just read it. You wrote it. I just read it. That's my job. Well, they filed petitions. People wrote names on the side of my tires in the parking lot. I was a popular person. But they gave me that job, and then they changed the manual. So I'm down there as a furnace operator. I love that job, man, because you only work twice a shift. People are scared. Man, you don't work down there, molten aluminum, burn your eyeballs out, burn a hole through your skin. Well, you only had to enter those furnaces twice in 8 hours. Twice. So you're sitting there the rest of the time drinking free Pepsi in front of our own 48-inch fan. Like it's really hard, you know. And so twice you had to put on a big asbestos coat and metal tarsal shoes. And had to stand over that furnace. Once you emptied it, you had to clean those channels out. And you had a big steel bar and a 10-pound sledgehammer. You had to stand over the pit of hell and clean out those channels. So you would sweat like a stuck hog. So twice in 8 hours for 30 minutes, you're sweating and slinging steel. Boom, boom. But the other 7 hours, like, hey, what's happening? He's like, so I'm sitting there one day and I'm going through this process and the guy walks down below the mezzanine one morning in a white shirt and blue pants, not sweating at all. Everybody sweats in this company. It's a hot place. I asked the foreman, who's the guy in the white shirt that comes by every day? He said, that's a lab technician. So how come he doesn't sweat? He works in the lab. What do you mean? It's air conditioned in the lab. I said, where's the lab at down there? I said, does he make more money than we do? Sure, he's a lab technician. I said, how do you get to be a lab technician? He said, you can't be a lab technician. You got to be a metallurgist to be a lab technician. So what's a metallurgist? They work with metal. Huh. I got off at 3 o'clock. I walked down to the personnel office. I walk in, and it's just the receptionist, nice lady. She said, can I help you? Uh-huh. How do you get to be a lab technician? She said, well, you have to take a test. Oh, can I take it? Sure. When do you give it? Well, we're giving one next Thursday. Can you sign me up? No problem. So I signed my name. There were 17 guys coming in to take that test to get that job as a lab technician. I signed my name at the bottom. The next Thursday, I got off of work. I've been on the furnace all day. My clothes are white with sweat. I smell. I walk into a room with 17 college graduates with coats and ties on. I walk in. The guy giving the test said, can I help you? I'm here to take the test. I don't think so. No, really, I'm here to take the test. What's your name? Joe McGee. Somebody had retyped it, so it's official. All right, well, have a seat. All righty. I sit down. They give you the test. 100 questions, multiple choice. It's on metallurgy. We had a shop at my high school. Had some wood, some saws. We didn't even have a drill. We were a country with a K school. We never had a micrometer. Half these questions are using a micrometer. Good Lord, that looks like Hebrew. I don't even know what that is. So I know how to take a test. Read every question. If you know it, answer it. I don't know any of them. Then I go back. Number 1, A. Number 2, B. Number 3, C. Number 4, D. Number 5, A. And I went back and I reread it again. Took about 20 minutes. It's a 4-hour test. 20 minutes later, got up, walked to the front, handed my paper in. Everybody's looking at me. My God, he's a genius. He's a stinking genius. I go back to work. I'm trying to help you here. I go back to work. 2 weeks later, the foreman's yelling, McGee, get down here. What'd you do? I didn't do nothing. I'm working. Now, what'd you do? They want you down the lab. What'd you do? Oh, I took a test to be a lab technician. You weren't supposed to do that. Get out there and fix that. So I go down to the lab, and there's a guy named Steve Radline. He used to work for NASA before NASA was famous. He smoked a lime green pipe. It was made out of the stuff that with the heat shields on the space shuttles before there was a space shuttle. Got a crew cut, and he's sitting there puffing that pipe. He said, have a seat. Now, I love the lab. Oh, my God, you walk in, everything's stainless steel, white floors. There's classical music playing. They have their lunch delivered. They eat corned beef on rye. We're eating pineapple and cream cheese out of the machine. They're playing games called cribbage, not cabbage, cribbage. Like, God, I'm walking out. Now I'm just nasty. I sit down in front of Mr. Radline, and he's puffing that pipe. I said, Joe, why do you want to be a lab technician? I said, well, I have a lot of hobbies. Work's not one of them. I work for cash. And y'all make more money than we do. Plus, it's air conditioning. And I really like the classical music. I don't know what it is, but it beats that country. That'll drive you whack, I'll tell you. You get to eat that corned beef on rye, and I don't know, that would be something. I'm not making this up. I'm just being honest. He's just puffing that pipe. He said, you know, you weren't supposed to take this test. I said, well, I asked. I said, I could. He said, you know what your score was? I said, no, I figure I got a 50-50 chance of getting 50. I guessed at everything. He said, you scored a 9. Nine. I'm trying to think, did he round it up? 9? He said, you got 9 out of 100, Joe. Don't ever gamble. You're not good at guessing. Well, what he had to do, because I took the test, he had to pull my personnel file. He said, Joe, do you not like working here? I love working here. Then why do you keep moving around? You worked in every department in this plant. I said, well, because I have a lot of hobbies and work's not one of them. I work for cash. And every time I moved, it was to make more money than I was making. Huh. Well, I've got a problem. I said, what is that? He said, well, the people on the floor don't like the lab technicians. The lab technicians don't like the people on the floor. We have a relationship problem. The plant manager's mad at me. He told me this morning I need a liaison between us and them. And according to your personnel file, everybody likes you. You work really hard. You know everybody. You know everything in the plant. So I'm thinking maybe we could bring you into the lab. And we can teach you how to run all the machines. Now, we're not going to teach you the math. We don't think you can learn that. I'm not making it. It was very humble. But if we can bring you in for 3 months and see if you can learn the machines, we will hire you as a lab technician, and you can be our liaison between us and the floor. Would you be willing to try that? Now, the minute he said that, I said, will I get a uniform? What? Yeah, the white shirt and the pants, because my wife would really be impressed if I went to work in a white shirt and some pants. Sure, we can get you a white shirt and some pants. That's good. All right, yeah, I can do this. Okay, guy's name is Charlie Schwiger. He was German. He trained me. He had 8 years of college math. He was a walking genius. Man, I had divine. That guy liked me, and I liked him. He was incredible. He collected arrowheads and stuff. We hit it off. But he taught me all the machinery, taught me all the math, so I was the first 9-degree lab technician. I got that job. How did you get that job? Well, I just asked, took a test, you know, flunked it, and they hired me. It was amazing. And so I'm in there. Well, it didn't take but 3 days. There's 3 lab technicians on every shift. And so now I'm not just wasting time storytelling. You need to listen to me. Everybody in this room is dealing with something right now. It'll be up to you whether you persevere or you back off. Because the devil's trying to get you to back. You're too dumb. You're not educated enough. You're not smart enough. I'm a child of God. And I'm going to own you if you don't leave me alone. And so I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be the hardest worker. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to cheat. I'm not going to steal. And I'm going to learn whatever you need me to learn. So 3 days into my job as a lab technician, I realized that one of us was a senior lab technician. I said, you're a senior lab technician? What makes you a senior lab technician? I do the same thing you do. He says, well, I can run the quantometer. Now, a quantometer was an amazing machine. Now, they've updated technology since then. It took up a whole room. I mean, you walk in that room, your hair stand up on your head. And what it did a carbon test. We'd send a piece of aluminum down, and we'd do a carbon burn on it. Got a carbon rod. And it would measure how much manganese, how much copper, zinc, what kind of ore's in there. And then we could tell them what to add down at the furnace so we got quality wire we're producing that's hanging up. And so he said, I run the quantometer. I said, well, I can run the quantometer. He says, no, you're not. They only have 2 of them in the state of Tennessee. One's here and the other's at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. I thought, I can learn to run that. So I would stay over. Denise, I'd come home late an hour after every shift because that's when they do the burn. So I would stay over till the new technicians came in, and I'd go out and watch them do the test, burn. What's that do? What does that mean? And I learned how to run the quantometer. So 3 months later, one of the guys in our lab got promoted to sales. There's an opening for a senior lab technician. I went and talked to Mr. Radline. I want that job. Joe, you can't do that job. You don't know how to run the quantometer. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Yes, I do. Come watch me. Well, he went down, and sure enough, an hour later, he just made me retab. I said, you need 3 grams of copper, 4 manganese, you're ready to go. I'll get back with you. I became the first senior non-degree lab technician they ever had. Well, I'm just doing my job. I'm happy as a pea in a pod. And then also one day, they got some new alloy they're making down there. And I don't know anything about the alloy. And so I did the test, and I told them it was ready to dump. So we dumped 20,000 pounds of aluminum that was no good. And it's moving through the plant. All of a sudden, they found out, this stuff's no good. It's busting. What happened? And they found out the mix was bad. Well, who approved it? The lab technician. Which one? The non-degreed one down there. And sure enough, buddy, Mr. Randall called me in. I was home asleep. He comes, Joe, you got to get down there. Plant manager's living. Like, you dumped 20,000 pounds of bad stuff. I said, no way. I know what I'm doing. Well, I didn't know it's an alloy. I'd never seen it before. And sure enough, like, you do it? Yes, I did. I thought it was this. It wasn't. It's this. I've never seen this before. I used the old numbers, and it's my fault. It was the plant manager wants to see. And so he came down, and he was mad. Old guy, you know, bald head. You know what you did? Yes, sir. I dumped the wrong stuff. You know why? Yeah, because it was an alloy. I'd never seen it before. I promise you, it will never happen again. Well, I'll find out what we're going to do with you. And I thought, okay, go home. I did. And I thought, well, maybe that's it. So, you know, I called the next day, and Radline said, you're not going to believe it. The plant manager said to keep you. You're a hard worker. They said he's going to keep you. So I said, good. So here I am. I do it for another 2 years. Senior lab technician, Radline leaves and goes off to NASA. We hire a new guy named Bill Clark. They said, we have a new boss coming. Oh, dear God, no. Yeah. What's his name? Bill Clark. He's the hitter for Olin Massive. They bring him in to fire people and clean up stuff. Oh, dear God. Oh, this is not going to be good. I'm the only non-degree guy here. My job is history. I'm smoked. That's it. You know how you're thinking. Long story short, it was Bill Clark's house. We went to the Bible study where I'm trying to figure out what kind of Bible I'm reading. When they shut our plant down a year later because somebody in Belgium bought us, it was Bill Clark that hired me in Sykes, Missouri as an engineer and sent me to night school. He said, how'd you get to be an engineer? Well, I was a janitor. And I didn't want to stay a janitor. So I did the next level, which led to the next level, which led to the next level. You don't jump overnight. God orders steps, not miles. So the first thing you need is a budget. Greatest financial thing you'll ever do. Number one, know God wants you blessed. So get the scriptures, get them to yourself. You can buy my book. I've got them all written down in the first chapter, all the ones on wealth and blessing and prosperity. But it's better if you get them yourself. It sticks with you. Number two, once you know God wants you blessed, get a budget. How much money do you need? No way you can do that. Go to your local insurance company. They got forms for free. Fill out all the forms. How much money do I owe? How much do I own? How much do I need? And you do a final number. Oh, God, we need money. Well, how much do you need? Because you might need a lot more money than I need. But God promised to supply my need. But what is my need? God's detail in prayer. God is a prayer answering God, but he wants truth. And he wants detail. If the hairs of my head are numbered, the days of my life are numbered, you need to be detailed with God. God, I need X, Y, Z number this year. Because if I know what the number is, I'm going to start praying it. Most people don't get it because they don't pray it because they don't know what it is. God wants you blessed, but if you don't know how much blessing you need, you're not praying about it. You're just griping. Never had enough money. Got no had enough money. Never gonna have enough money. Broken. I'm gonna be broken. Broke. Nobody cares. You need to get a number. How much money do you need? So if you'll get a budget, and it will scare you, I promise you, it's more than you think. Like, oh dear God, we need a lot. Yes, you do. And God's real stinking big. Really big. It's big. God's bigger than Texas. It's cattle on a thousand hills, silver and gold are all his, and he'll give you anything you need. All you need, I don't care how dumb you've been, how bad you sinned, God will get you out. He is a redeemer of stupid stuff. He make the devil pay you back 7 times whatever you lost, but you need to get a budget. So get a number. Greatest miracle you ever did. Number three, you need a job. Do this real quick. Everybody needs a job. Everybody say job. It kind of looks like Job, but it's job. You know, I love Job, the book of Job, first book in the Bible, greatest book of the Bible. It will wind you up. Job is incredible. I don't have time, but it's incredible. God just set the devil up, you know. It's like, well, you blessed. No wonder he loves you. No, he loves me because he loves me. No, he loves you because he's filthy, stinking rich, and you blessed him. No, he loves me because he loves me. Take everything away. You'll find out. It was the setup of the entire Bible. What is it? Take his stuff. Just can't kill him. Of course, the end, what happened? I don't care. You just need to curse God and die. I don't care what he does to me. I'm going to love him and I'm going to serve him. And all of a sudden, you know, he got back seven times all he lost. I mean, cattle, silver, gold, kids. Like, what is it? I told you, you can't outgive God. God's got he's got the book. And he has accounting angels. Now, here's what you need. You need a job. Now, listen to this. Let's see if I can do this right. I make my kids do this. We do the testing thing. Start to have the high school kids. I make them take three tests every year. First day of school on Wednesday, I made every high school kid, actually junior high, take the unemployment test. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to take the unemployment test today. Why? Because I love the unemployment test. I've been laid off twice, took an unemployment test. First time I got laid off, took that test. I wasn't looking for a test. I'm looking for a job. I need a job. You need to take a test. I don't want a test. I need a job. I thought you were the unemployment office. Don't you give jobs? Yeah, but it'll be based on your test. I don't want to take a test. I just want a job. I don't care what kind of job. Just get me a job. We don't know what kind of job to give you until you take a test. I'll take any job. I have no job. I want a job. I don't care what kind of job. And so I took the test. Finally, I was so mad. Mr. Gibby, based on your test, we recommend you look for a job in one of these three areas. Stay away from everything else. For the first time in my life, somebody told me what I could be good at. I had never been told what I was good at. You know, the devil shows up early through your family when you're young. Boy, you're dumb. You're stupid. You're not going to mount hill of beans. You're done with the dirt. You can't walk and chew gum. You're never mounting enough. It's like people that love you will speak hell into your life. What's the devil trying to do? Back you up. That's why if you don't get in the word of God, what are you going to be? The head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything I set my hand to is going to prosper. Going to finish really good. God said so. I don't listen to lies. I listen to the truth. The truth set me free. You got to change how you think. So listen to scripture. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. Ecclesiastes 5, 19 and 20. It is a good thing to receive wealth from God. Well, that's not a bumper sticker. No, but it's in the Bible. It is a good thing to receive wealth from God and the good health to enjoy it. Well, that's 3 John 2. Wish above all things, prosper in health, your soul prospers. To enjoy your work and to accept your lot in life. You ought to enjoy going to work. You should not hate going to work. You get up when it's in the morning or at night, whenever you get started, where are you going? I'm going to work. I love to work. Because if you don't work, you don't eat. And I love to eat, so I love to work. It's a scripture. To enjoy your work and accept your lot in life, this is a gift from God. What is it to enjoy going to work and to prosper? That's a gift from God. For God keeps such people. What people? People that know they enjoy their work and that God wants them to be wealthy. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life, they take no time to brood over the past. You need to get out of your past. As long as the devil keeps you there, you're not going anywhere. What are you thinking about tomorrow? What are you going to do? Better than I did today. We're going to do better next week. Got plans. So what it is, you need a channel of income. So I would take and I'd give them a test, unemployment test. On Thursday, I gave the kids a test from the Psychological Testing Corporation out of Fort Worth, Texas. It helps you find, are you good in math, science, English, history? Where's your gift? And then on Friday, I gave them a test from Discovering Your God-Given Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune. They're in Jacksonville, Florida. It's a national bestseller. You can buy it in Barnes & Noble. They're professional educators, but they're born again, spirit filled. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 through 9, or 9 through 12. What is your gift? Are you a perceiver? Are you a motivator? Are you an exhorter? Because there are vocations that line up under that. So what I did, I took kids and I gave them three tests. The Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. So 3 days in a row, I gave them a test. After 3 days, here's what they know. According to these three different tests in three different places, they keep telling me you're good at something. Nobody may have ever told you that, but according to three tests in three different places, you're good at something. The Bible says your gift will make room for you, make you wealthy and make you famous. The problem is you don't know you have a gift because we have gifted classes. You're just not in them because you're a doofus. You're in the remedial reading. We know where you are. You're a doofus. And hell will show up early for our kids and tell them how they're dumb and stupid. No, you're a child of God. God gifted you before your mother ever met your father. He's got great plans for you. You're going to be the head, not the tail. Your gift's going to make room for you, and it's going to make you famous. I don't care if you make F's and L's, whether Jesus comes, you're going to be filthy, stinking rich because your gift's going to make room for you. My daughter Sarah was a straight-A student. That's why she's got her doctorate. She's a college professor today. She was straight-A. She came out of the womb smart. Please pass the oatmeal. But she flunked algebra. It's like she would come up, algebra is on the devil. Algebra is on the devil. I said, no, it's not. And you said so. I never said anything that stupid. Yes, you did. You said God does everything decently and in order. And God made numbers. And God made letters. And somebody split them together. And it's confusion. And I really, my God, that's good. I never thought of that. That's pretty smart. And so Sarah was horrible in math, flunked algebra 2 years in a row, went to summer school 2 years in a row to make up algebra 2 because you can't get into college without algebra 2. Her senior year, she took the ACT 5 times and took no section but the math section. Why? It's your weakness. You cannot let your weakness destroy you. You're not going to job with your weakness, but you can't let it kill you. Get good at this. So she, and we finally got that scholarship. And of course, I've told her when she graduated, honey, you're going to be so good at what you do, but don't ever build a bridge. If you build a bridge, put your name on the end of it, because I'm not going to drive across it. Because you stink at math. So, but she knows how to hire accounts and do things. All of us in her day are good at something. Paul said, this one thing I do. Every one of you are gifted by God at the moment set to do something incredible on this planet that people will write a check for. How do you get paid? By serving your fellow man. The better I serve my fellow man, the better I get paid. What are you trying to do? Serve my fellow man with what? The gift God gave me. Don't let people, well, you're not good at this. You're not good at this. I don't care. I'm good at this. And that's all I care about. God wants you blessed. Now, the last thing God said, it is God's will to give you power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. It is God's will. He's going to give you the power to get wealth. You know what wealth is? Wealth and riches will be in your house, says Psalm 112. Wealth is money come from someplace you're not at. Riches is money I get from working. Well, I got a check, I work. What's wealth? Well, that's my money making money. Wealthy people make money from places they're not even at. I'm not going to teach on it, but it's in the Bible. It's in my book. There are wealthy people. God promised his people would be wealthy. What does that mean? I know how money works. I love Jesus. I believe in it. 2 Kings 4:1. This is in your notes. 2 Kings 4:1 talked about a prophet of God that died. I close with this. I'm over. Watch this. 2 Kings 4:1. The widow of this prophet comes to a prophet, Elisha. She said, my husband worked for you. My husband loved God, feared God, served God, died broke. And the prophet said, of a truth, your husband did work for me. He did love God. He did serve God. He did fear God, but he was stupid when it came to money. And now she said, we are so broke. He's died. We are so poor. I have nothing. We are so far in debt from my husband's stupidity of handling money. Though he loved God and feared God and served God, they're coming to get my sons as bond slaves. My sons will spend the rest of their life serving another man to pay off their father's debt. I thought, how sad that you had a godly man with a pure heart, but was stupid when it came to money. Money's a law, people. You got to learn how to handle it. And so the prophet said, well, you got any neighbors with any empty buckets? What? So all I got is this can of oil. That's all I got. Well, good. We can use that. It's not what you don't have. It's what you do have. Got a half can of oil. We'll make that work. Go to your neighbor's bar. Every empty bucket and pot you can. Okay. Take them to your house. Okay. Shut the door. All right. And take that can of oil and keep filling them up. As long as you have an empty bucket or pot, that oil will keep pouring out of that can. And as soon as the last bucket was filled up, that oil ran out. God said, I'll give you as much as you'll make room for. I'll give you as much as you make room for. Well, she said, well, I did it. We got oil, but we still have no money. We're still broke. Well, now because God has us do natural. God does the supernatural. We do the natural. We walk around the walls of Jericho. He knocks them down. We pick up the staff. He parts the water. We make the mud. He opens the eyes. We do nothing. He does nothing. Faith without works is dead. Get a budget. And so anyhow, she goes down to the marketplace, sets up a table, and they sell that oil. They made so much money off that oil. They not only paid off their debt, she retired off that sale. What are you sitting on? Can of oil. God said, that's all you need. With me, it's all you need. I will supply all you need. It's not what you know. I'll supply what you got. This, it's all you need. I will supply all your need. She retired off that. The sad thing is that guy went to heaven, went to paradise. Before heaven was, you go into paradise, you know, here's Abraham's bosom, that's hell. There's a thing you can see each other. Over there's the worms, the maggots. Hey, how y'all doing? Not too good. You know, how you doing? And I can see that guy coming through that tunnel. You know the tunnel everybody goes through when they die? He's coming through the tunnel. Hey, welcome to paradise, you prophet of God. So glad you're here. Before you come in, though, look back down the tunnel. What? Yeah, look back down. What do you see? Well, it's my wife and my boys. They're there by the tomb, and they're crying because I'm dead. No, they're crying, but it's not because you're dead. Because they're broke as dirt because you left them deep in debt. But come on in and have a seat and a nice tea. Now, there's people go home every day thinking they did good. Listen. As a man, my number one job is to take care of my family financially. What are you doing? Take care of my family. That means I better stop griping, complaining, cussing. What are you going to do? I want to chase God. I'm gifted to do something really good, and I'm going to serve my fellow man. I'm going to earn a good living with it. And if Jesus does tarry, my children are going to dance in my grave because I'm going to leave you really stinking good because God said so. Amen. Let's stand up. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.